Thank you very much. That was written by Miss Adria Ludwig. She was on the right hand, or your left hand side there, and she wrote that song. And boy, that is so true. It's just a hill, just a barn, just a manger, until Jesus comes and touches that. And that's exactly how our lives are. Our lives are dark, empty, formless, until Jesus comes. Then everything changes. A beautiful thought, a wonderful song. Thank you, Miss Adria, for writing that. Thank you, ladies, for singing that for us today. Before we go into the message this morning, I'd like to say a big thank you to those who spent literally hours and a couple days decorating the facility here for the Christmas season. And we show up and enjoy it. But I found out that for many people to have a good time, a few people have to labor more abundantly. And I want to thank those people who did that in this way, and particularly for the Christmas season. I love the Christmas season, and it's always better whenever you see some decorations and things. And I appreciate that very, very much. Luke chapter 1 in your Bible. Of course, there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke is the Gospel that talks about Jesus being the Son of Man. Luke was not a Jewish man. He was a Gentile physician or a medical doctor. Second century historians have said that they believe that he got much of his information not from an eyewitness, but from those who he had interviewed and received the information from. Some believe he sat down with Mary in her years of life and said, "Rehearse with me what God did to bring to you the Christ child, and tell me what was like." And God, of course, inspires all of the Bible. But he does do it with human instrumentality. Just like if you write a letter, you write the letter, not the pen, but you move the pen on the paper. That's how God gave us the Bible. The Bible did not come in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. That's why it has such continuity. That's why it has such unity. That's why it has such power. You can absorb any book. You find a book that's written by just men, and you're going to find you can figure it out. You can read it and absorb what it's saying, but never with the Bible. It doesn't matter if you read it 1,000 times. On the 1,001st time that you read it, you'll find something that didn't resonate with you before. You can read the book of Proverbs. I've tried for years, since 1983, to take the time to read one chapter of the book of Proverbs every day. And I've read it many, many times over. I think it's a great idea, because whatever day of the month it is, you can read that day of the month and read that chapter of Proverbs and read the book of Proverbs through 12 times every year. Probably have 12 times the wisdom that you would have had you not done that. And so I'd like to encourage you to do it. But it seems like when I read it again today, it will bring something I didn't think about before, because it is a spiritual book. The Bible contains the mind of God, how God thinks, and the way of man, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of people who believe the Bible. And I'm thankful God gave us the Scripture. Well, Luke, he wrote the life, the paradigm of Jesus from a man. That's why he focuses much on the person of Mary, more so than Matthew would, who also includes the birth of Christ. Because he got his manhood, if you will, from his mother. He obviously did not have a human father. And so he spoke with Mary, no doubt, or got his information and focused a little bit more on her lineage and her background and how it revolved around her. But in the book of Luke, he writes the letter to Theophilus, someone who loves God that he knows. And he writes the book of Luke, and he also writes the book of Acts, giving a little bit of background there. He opens his story with two senior citizens somewhat, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias is one of the priests. Now, he's not the high priest. He's one of many priests. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, David set out that there would be hundreds and really thousands of priests throughout the land of Israel. And Zacharias was just one of those. But they had rotating shifts when they would have to leave their homes, come to Jerusalem, and they would service God's people. They would teach God's people His Word and His ways, and would perform sacrifices. And one of the duties was to offer incense on the altar of incense in the morning and the night. And so one guy would not think, well, you know, that's my job. I like to do it. I want to do it. And raise his hand and volunteer every time. And other person said, I just don't really want to do it. And I don't have to do it. They would cast lots. Or it would be kind of like they would like Lot in Jonah's day. Or they would say, well, let's see what God would want us to do. And just kind of take a choice. Or it would be kind of like today. And I hate to use the crude illustration. But like throwing dice. Rolling the dice and see who's going to do it. Or picking straws. If maybe you might remember when you were a child. You'd put the straws. They all look the even on the top. And then one of them is smaller than the others. And they would pick that. Well, it came upon, and sometimes because of the large number of priests, not everybody would even do it in their entire lifetime. Because some guy might have a lot this time, and 2 weeks later, it's his turn again. But it was a great honor and a very a great honor and a grave responsibility, a sobering responsibility to go in and to offer incense. And while the priests would do that for the people would rest outside or stay outside the temple, and they would pray outside while the priests made the morning and the evening oblation or the offering of the incense and the prayers. And they would pray privately while the priests prayed publicly inside and offered the incense. And as they saw the incense go up, it was a type of their prayers going up to God. Well, Zacharias, it was his time to do it. The lot fell upon him in his exercise of responsibility as one of the priests. And he was from one of the families. If you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, you'll see that he is of a Abijah family. And it was his responsibility and his turn to do that. He was older, and his precious wife, the Bible describes him as somebody who not only had an outward walk, but they had an inward integrity. They were not hypocrites. Many hypocrites were known. Jesus identified them when he preached to the people. He would say, you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. But that was not what was said of Zacharias and Elizabeth. These people were unbelievable examples. Not just outwardly. Not just in their appearance or their apparel. But inwardly. They were the real deal. They were what the Bible calls blameless. That means you couldn't get any junk on them. They were the real Christian. What they were on the outside of godly Christianity, they were on the inside. But they were suffering because they did not have a child. And especially in the Jewish culture, fruitfulness was kind of equated with God's blessing. And if you didn't have a child, it was like, maybe there's something wrong with you. Even some of the Sadducees of the day who did not believe in the resurrection would oftentimes be very critical of a barren lady. Because now you have no one else to intercede with you after you go back, after you die. And so the procreation or a heritage of children was a big deal. And some people were very cruel with a lady who was barren, thinking there was something wrong with her spiritually. But over all that, Elizabeth overcame that. And she was a godly lady. And certainly we learn that through their faithfulness, they were righteous before God. They were genuine in their walk before men. And they were faithful through discouragement. And now I thank God for people like that in this room this morning. And lessons I can learn from Zacharias and Elizabeth is this, is that it is faithfulness that breeds fruitfulness. Just be faithful. I have a poem in my Bible. I don't have it memorized, but I like to read it. And I think I hope I can find it quickly here if I can find it. I love this particular poem. It says this, I have dreamed many dreams that have never come true. I have seen them vanish at dawn. But I've realized enough of my dreams to thank God to keep me dreaming on. I prayed many prayers when no answer came, though I waited patient and long. But the answers have come to enough my prayers to keep me praying on. I've sown many seeds that fell by the wayside, and I've seen the birds feed upon. But I've held enough golden sheaves in my hand to keep on sowing on. I've drained the cup of disappointment and pain and gone many days without song. But I've sipped enough of the nectar of the roses of life to make me want to live on. Boy, just keep on being faithful. When it feels like it's just not going good for you, keep on. If your marriage is struggling, keep on working at it. If things are not happening the way you'd like to have it happen, and maybe aloneness or loneliness is getting to you, keep on keeping on. Be faithful to the Lord. God will not be a debtor to any man who is faithful to Him. Be faithful. Are you trying to give? Are you trying to read your Bible? Are you trying to honor the Lord? You're trying to be a soul winner, and it seems like you haven't seen the fruit. It is faithfulness that brings fruitfulness. And we learned that from two precious people. Well, they'll not fall off the pages of our Bible. There's more to talk about them in a few moments. But the second people I'd like you to know about is that people who pray. If you look at chapter 1, we look in verse number 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. And when he went into the temple of the Lord, the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar. And I just quickly say by review, be a praying Christian. Someone says if you're not praying, you're probably playing at your Christianity. I even this morning got on my face before the Lord for a few minutes and really apologized to Him because of a failure to speak to Him more. A failure to not spend more time of my week speaking to the Father, speaking to the Lord. Oh, I spoke with Him, but I could just say that probably God was disappointed in oftentimes my willingness to spend time alone with Him. Has He been disappointed with you as well? Well, learn to pray. And then may I say to you, this is a great type. Whenever someone is praying publicly from this pulpit or maybe even in the seat, you and I ought to join in their prayers. Don't zone out when someone's praying. Don't horse around or goof around with someone near you or laugh or joke around. Young person, it's time to pray. He's talking. That's rude to interrupt someone when they're talking. And when we're speaking to God of heaven and someone is taking the petitions independently to them on behalf of the church family, everybody ought to stop. And ought to pray in their hearts to the Lord as these people and saw the incense of heaven go up and rejoice that God is hearing the prayers of His people. I believe corporate prayer is very important. Some people say, well, I pray by myself. Let me tell you something. In the Bible, you'll see that people pray by themselves and with others. And I do believe that is a very biblical way. Sometimes people get uncomfortable with that. I don't think God is a bit uncomfortable with that. I believe He likes it when His group comes. See, He is not like, I couldn't hear all of your voices or your hearts cry at the same time, but God is omniscient. He can hear everything. He knows everything. He can discern every heart's cry. Aren't you glad that the psalmist said in Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that's higher than thine. I can go to that place and let God help me and let God strengthen me through prayer. Oh, man, I think John R. Rice said, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. You want to wonder why we have powerless lives? Oftentimes, we can go and find our source in our failure to go to the prayer closet. Pray with somebody. Well, instead of gossip, why don't you ask someone to pray with you? Take it to the need, in the Lord in prayer. Then we find the angel Gabriel shows up. In Luke chapter 1, and let's look, if we can, please, briefly at that. When he went to the temple and he went into the room to do the altar of incense, this is not what the priest did on an annual basis, though some have suggested that. I don't believe that to be the case. This is the morning, the evening incense on the altar of incense. When he goes there, he gets ready to walk in there, and there is a form of a man in an angel standing at the right side of the altar of incense. His name is Gabriel. He doesn't know that at the time. But the angel greets him and says to him, in verse 11, and said unto him, fear not. Verse number 12. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And he was afraid. It bothered him. He didn't know what. He'd been in there maybe before. Maybe he had done it that week, and this was the first or second day he had done it. Now he comes in there, and there is an angel standing at the right side there of the altar of incense. And the angel says to him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John. Verse number 14, he begins to describe what John will be. We'll come back to that in a minute. I'd like for you to notice quickly about the angel. What can we learn from the angel? I'll just say this comically. Get on the right side of things. Get on the right side. It doesn't matter who's right. It matters what is right. And nothing's ever settled till it's settled right. Nothing's ever settled right till it's settled right with God. And when we talk about conservative or liberal, just get on the right side. Now, what's the right side? Whatever God says is right. And I want to encourage you, whatever the right side of the issues be on, you find out where God is and get over there, you'll be very happy. Now, I don't understand. I know in Zechariah chapter 3, in the Old Testament prophet, he talked about the angel appearing on the right side. And maybe that's something to do with that. And then, of course, Satan also appearing there with him. But I want to be on the right side of something. I'd like to encourage you to be on the right side. You got someone fighting, someone arguing. Listen, what's the right thing to do? Love is not feeling right about someone, but making a decision to treat that someone right. Do what is right. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His. What's the right thing to do? We need a revival of righteousness. Hang your feelings. What you feel about something doesn't even matter. What is right, what God feels about it, is where you want to be. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. Our warrant should be the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Get on the right side of an issue. Number two, I would say, bring glad tidings. When he asks him, who are you and what are you doing? He tells him he is Gabriel. Look at chapter 1, if you would please, and look at verse number 19. The angel said unto him, I am Gabriel. And Gabriel, of course, is the one who appeared to Daniel. Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. He appeared to him, and he also appears now to Zacharias. He said, I am Gabriel. I'm the messenger that God has sent, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these, read the last two words there, glad tidings, these good things. I'd just like to say to you, friend, just on a practical note, be a positive person. The Bible says we ought to think on things that are true, that are just, that are of good report. Boy, all of us got negative stuff. There's things you know about people that are not right, or dirt you have on somebody, or something you could say. But listen, let me encourage you. Be a positive, Christ-honoring Christian. Well, don't walk around with your glass half empty. Walk around with it half full. Look at the blessings of God. I've joked about this before, but some people rejoice when we walk in the room. Other people rejoice when we walk out. And a lot of that's dependent upon the spirit that a person has. Had the joy to visit briefly with Brother Joe and Miss Linda Wittick recently. And Brother Joe said to me, because at the age of 35, I don't know, 20 years ago, Miss Wittick got very sick. And she struggled with her health. And Brother Joe said this, the Bible says the spirit of a man sustaineth his infirmity. What keeps Linda smiling and goofing off? She's a little bit out of control if you don't watch her there. Every time I leave her, she goes, see you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile, you know. She's joking. But what is it that keeps her, even though that a wheelchair is her friend, gets her around? 24-hour day, somebody cares for her. Doesn't have the opportunity to lift her hands to blow her nose or to wipe her tear because her hands are not working very good. But her spirit is beautiful. She has a positive spirit. And that doesn't come. I'm not talking about Norman Vincent Peale, and I'm not talking about Joel Osteen. I'm talking about what the Bible says. I don't care if you feel fuzzy-wuzzy or not. You can have a positive spirit. Up and down. The joy of the Lord is our. It's what keeps a person strong. Think about Bill and Cricket Boyd and Brother Rogers and Miss Tina over here. What a beautiful people that have a spring in their step, even in a wheelchair. They have a lift in their voice, a smile on their face. And many of us, we've got healthy bodies. We don't know what pain means, and we complain about everything. Why don't you give someone some glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Ought to convict our hearts when we think about this messenger of God. I want you to notice another thing real quickly in verse number 13. The angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." This is interesting to me because he said his prayer is heard. Now there's two thoughts here. You can either he was praying for the Messiah to come, or he was praying for a child. I don't think that prayer for a child was being prayed at that moment. I think it had been prayed many years before. I don't think as an elderly man he stood there and said, "Lord, give my wife a baby." I don't think that was his prayer at that moment. But he had prayed that. He had prayed that many years before. And God answered that prayer in a miraculous, amazing way, but not on his timetable. Dear friend, I think one of the most important things in prayer is to learn that God doesn't work on your timetable or mine. I think if you'll think about this, I thought about this a lot. When I saw that, I thought, you know, yeah, I don't think he was probably doing incense. He was probably scared to death. It was his time to do it. He was nervous about it. I don't think he was praying for a baby. That'd be like Brother Colston praying for a baby. Someone nice and old whose nose is crying today. That was a good one. I like that one right there. I don't think he was there. I think he was trying to pray for the petitions of God's people and asking God to meet the needs of the people that were outside the temple that had asked him to come in, and they're waiting for the incense to go. And all of a sudden, he says, "Now, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. Your wife's going to have a baby." I think we know about this later because he says, "I don't think so. How am I going to know this?" No. I think it's a prayer that had been a delayed response. I started thinking about this. You know, I have prayed several things many years ago and months ago that they didn't go. And actually, I kind of stopped praying for them. And all of a sudden, I see months and years later, that prayer got answered. And I say, you know what? That's interesting. I kind of thought that wasn't going to happen. Even in the Old Testament, Daniel was praying. Remember him praying? And he didn't see a response. And whenever the answer came, he said, "Where have you been?" He said, "Boy, I've been fighting with the devil to get down here and give you the answer. I wanted to come earlier, but I couldn't make it. The answer wasn't..." We had some spiritual battle going on to get the answer to you. Now, quite frankly, friend, I don't understand all about that. But I believe we can learn this is to keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. God hears and answers prayer. Sometimes he answers with an emphatic and a right now yes. Sometimes he answers with a no. But many times he answers with wait. See, delay is one of God's favorite tools of working in our life. In a world of instant everything, sometimes God delays to respond. Because his timing is better than our timing. How many times do you thank the Lord that he didn't give you an answer to your prayer? Remember that girl you prayed for? Before you met your beautiful wife? And you saw her a few years ago and you're thanking Jesus? Well, we pray for things sometimes that, boy, am I glad God didn't hear that prayer. I'm glad he said no. I was all disappointed, but that was a good no. You wanted that job and it didn't come, you're thinking, man, what's going on here? But you found out that God had a better plan, you'd trust Him. Boy, He answers prayer. He's good. I want to conclude today speaking just for a few moments about John the Baptist. Tonight we'll go back to this text. I feel like there's enough here that we need to gather. But then Zacharias finds out you're going to have a boy. And you're going to name his son John, which means God is gracious. God will be gracious to you. And you know, God brings a birth of blessing to people who are faithful to the Lord. If I can encourage you anything, and I've said this several times, you probably know it by heart. When I started, you're going to know what to say. Is that faith is not just one way to please God. It is the only way to please Him. He moves upon the faith of people. And faithfulness is the root. Faith is the root word of faithfulness. Faith-filled people that trust God enough to just obey Him in the dark. When you don't understand, trusting the one who does understand. And God gave them a beautiful boy. And that boy was very, very special. And tonight we'll spend a little more time talking about how special he was and why he was special. And I say, if you're a parent, get your kids here tonight. If you're a young person, come tonight prepared to say, Lord, what can I learn from John? The Bible tells in Matthew chapter 18, there was not a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. What made him so great? Well, this passage tells us several things that make him great. But maybe you're here tonight, this morning, and you're not sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. You come to this Christmas season and joy, peace is not what you are experiencing on the inside of you because you're not at peace with God. You're not sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. If that's the case, I believe that's why you're in this auditorium this morning. Because God loves you and He's the Prince of Peace. And He made it possible for you to have peace with God. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't have peace with God. And you need it. Up in the balcony, you need peace with God. Young lady, you need peace with God. Older person, you need peace with God. Young man, you need peace with God. And the only way to have peace is through the person of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. Please don't leave without Jesus. He is the reason for the season, but He's also your only way to have eternal life. You must come to Jesus. He loves you and He wants to help you. If we can help you with that, we want to help you this morning. Let's pray together, can we please? With every head bowed and every eye closed, in just a moment I'm going to pray. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying seated. When we do the invitation, it's not a time for everybody to walk out. It's a time for Christians who are mature to stand still and pray. Unless you have responsibilities throughout the building you need to attend to, I would encourage you to wait for the end of the service. How many say, Pastor, I think there's something in the message today that spoke to my heart. Something about prayer. Maybe it's something about faithfulness. Or enduring difficult times. Or maybe it's about being on the right side of an issue. And being more positive and faith-filled in my language, in my talk, in my disposition. God's dealt with my heart about that. If that's you, would you lift your hand to the Lord in humble submission to that question? God bless you. God's worked in your heart. I hope you'll respond to Him in prayer right this moment. Maybe there's someone here today say, Pastor, I'm the one. I'm not at peace with God. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm very concerned about that question. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you'll say, Pastor, please pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? God bless you. Are there others? Hold your hand high and say, Pastor, please pray for me. God bless you. I see you and I see you. Thank you for lifting your hand. Are there others? Anybody else? Hold your hand high and say, Pastor, I'm not sure. God bless you and God bless you. Anyone else? I'm not sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I see you and thank you, sir. Are there others? If you're here and you're not for sure, if you were to die, you go to heaven. God loves you and He wants you to have eternal life. Let me encourage you in just a moment. We begin to stand up. When everyone stands up, would you leave where you're seated and come and let someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved? We can't save you. I'm going to pray for you, but my prayer cannot save you. You must respond to Jesus yourself. It's not hard. God did all the work so you could be saved, so you could have eternal life. Would you come and let someone help you with that? Anybody here this morning say, Pastor, I have already been saved, but I need to follow the Lord in baptism. I'm willing to do that today. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? If so, as soon as we begin to sing, would you come and let the men know that? And just let them know, as soon as we begin to sing, don't wait, don't tarry. Respond immediately. If God's dealt in your heart about something, I think it's always good, if God speaks to you, for you and I to speak back to Him in words of agreement, confession, and repentance. Let's stand together, please. Our Father, thank You for the privilege to be able to preach to people that are interested and love You. I pray for those who may be here without Jesus, help them to get saved. Thank You for Your great kindness to us. Do the work that only You can do. Help Christians to be sensitive and obedient to Thee. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If God's dealt in your heart, while the instrument plays, while the choir sings, if God's dealt in your heart, please come right now, would you?